Penny Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4. Hello, hello, and welcome to the Paisley Penny Arcade. I am Mo, and today is Wednesday, April 1st of 2026, April Fool's Day, as we say, and you're in the right place, because I'm definitely the fool. I played that part all my life, and I guess that's okay. Why not? Why not? Everyone, maybe I'm the real deal, huh? The fool. Who knows? How are you? I hope you're doing well. What's going on? How are you? It's April 1. Already the fourth month. That means a third of the year is poof, gone. So how are you? Those of you listening on the radio, don't worry, you're going to get something out of this show, and you can always go to YouTube later and watch it if you'd like. There's nothing, you can catch up on all the wonderful whatever. I don't know if it's wonderful, but whatever it is. Because some of this will be definitely something you can see. Because I've got some beads I'm going to use and so on. This is about dragon beads. What are dragon beads? Don't worry, I'll get to all that. I've talked about them before. But I just think they're absolutely magnificent. I've been using them a lot lately. A lot. And kind of spectacular. Yes, indeed. They're kind of astounding to me. Surprising and quite remarkable, in my opinion. So that's what today is. Talking about them and how to make them. They're very easy to make. Nothing to it. And to use, even easier. So I'm going to tell you all about it. So, but first, I hope everyone is doing well. The world's kind of a nutty place right now, but it's been a nutty place for quite a while. I'm sure you've seen that. Let's not dwell on that. So, what can we do? Well, we can vote and we can speak our mind. And we can go to protests and so on and so forth. 8 million people did that this last weekend. 8 million, the largest protests ever in this country's history. Pretty cool stuff going on. So I hope you're all doing well. So in good spirits. So let's begin. Get right to it. So what are dragon beads? Well, I made a big set, a bigger set. Here they are. They're gigantic. They're not. These are 10 millimeter beads. And for example, the ones that I usually, I have some around my wrist that are actually tied knots. But here are some much smaller beads, as you can see. And first of all, why are they called dragon beads? Well, the reason I call them that is just because I read it chat room thing once. Usenet, I think. I don't know what they call them. But it was someone had said they bought them in a shop, in an airport shop in China. Well, on their way out of China, back to wherever they were from, and they were called dragon beads. And it was said that they were just a random series of black and white beads. And I had a set I made of black and white beads. And that if you use those beads, You could consult the I Ching. And I thought, wow, that's pretty cool. But what happened is once they got them, they'd been using them for a while, and they were amazed because they worked and they liked them, and they broke. And once they broke, they could no longer use them. And I thought, well, that's pretty lousy. So what are you going to do after that? Well, they eventually, and people were freaking out, like, whoa, do you remember what they were? And they said, no, I remember there were six of the yang and six of the yin and that sort of thing, which would make sense because but what is the deal? The whole point is that you have to be able, with a set of these dragon beads, and that's what I've called them ever since, is dragon beads, because that made sense. That was easily 20 years ago. The point is to be able to connect to any one of the 64 hexagrams, and only one of the 64 hexagrams. So each one is represented but once. There are only 64 beads in this set, and that's it. Just each one represented once. Hello, Pamela. Welcome to the chat room. Hey, if you would like to join me, and it's live, and you're in the present time, whatever that is, then come on over to YouTube at Mo Abdelvaki. That's it. YouTube at that sign, MOABDELBAKI. I'd love to have you come chat with me in real time. And sometimes it gets kind of interesting, to say the least. So this is known as a Dobrugen series. A Dobrugen series. And it's mathematical and it's beyond me. I wasn't a math major, I was a history major, much easier. And, it has its own challenges, you know that. But the Dobrugen series or sequence, you know, and what it does is it's complex. It's a kind of a big deal, and you can look it up. It's Dobrugen was a Dutch mathematician, and this is actually very old, older than Dobrugen, this concept. They exist with mantras, where a mantra can exist of several syllables. And then what they do is they parse out these syllables in such a way that they have all the different possibilities of those syllables in the mantra. Happy April Fool's Day. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I hope. I'm not a prankster. I don't like pranks. I think that they're annoying, to say the very least. I know people who just absolutely love them. It's so, and all that. I know, it's not me. It's not me. I've just never really liked them. I've pulled a few in my day. Some of them incredibly mean. Just unbelievably mean, and I'm not a fan. I quit many, many years ago, and long way back. A couple of them, I almost got the proverbial snot kicked out of me. So I just like, okay, I'm, you know, it's just, they're not, I just don't like them. I never have poisson d'avril, as they're known in France, the April fish. Aleister Crowley equates that with the fool for some very specific reasons that I won't get into today, but they're fascinating. So this is a mathematical thing, and let's not worry about that. If you are interested in that, I'm not going to get into the math, but if you are interested in that, find your way to, and you are a mathematician, you can go to Wikipedia and look up Dobrugen, D-E space B-R-U-J-I-N, and you can look up all the interesting things about the Dobrugen stuff. Okay, but it's more interesting just to kind of use it and see what it's about. This is fast. I've been using this for years, but in earnest, I would say, I don't know, some months now, 6 months, maybe a little longer, a little less, I don't know. I've been keeping that diligent a track. Diligent, yeah, that's a good word, I guess. And I've been absolutely stunned at how accurate it is. It's incredibly accurate. And the nice thing about it is that if you know the I Ching at all, and if you do, then you will discover that this has the ability to answer questions, even yes or no questions, quickly, succinctly, the same thing, tersely, I'm kidding, and very well. And you don't need to do a lot of extra stuff around it, like getting the book, and there's no coin tosses. So you can do readings on the run. Now, I happen to have been working with the I Ching for most of my life. So I happen to know the names of and the nature of most of the hexagrams. Well, all the hexagrams, but I don't know them and all of them intimately, but I know what they are. I'll put it that way. So, but that just comes from using it for so darn long. But, you know, there's a couple of things you can do that are very simple that can you can bypass the stress around that, and that is you can write down just the names of the hexagrams. For example, number one is the creative, number two is the receptive, number three is difficult at the beginning. And other people who write books on the I Ching, a lot of people, what they do is they will change the names. For example, here's a book. Or you can carry around a thin book, thin-ish. Here's a book, The I Ching Clarified by Mondo Sector. Sector. This is a very old book. I think it's not, you know, so old that it's musty and stuff. But so, for example, he renames some of them, like number seven, which is the army in the old book by Wilhelm. Sector calls it teamwork. Fine, you know. But you can carry a book around like that, and so the different names, it doesn't matter so much. But you could just take a piece of paper and write down the names, or you can use the internet, because all of them are on there. But what you do is very simple, and let me explain what you're going to do. All you do is you are going to ask a question. And you can ask any question you want in any way you want. It's pretty simple. But you have to, I think, you have to kind of care about the answer. It's something that you are interested in and have a desire to know something about. Otherwise, why are you asking? I think sincerity in divination is an absolute must. It's something that I believe in. If you're going to ask the question, care about it. I don't believe in doing it on a lark, you know. I used to have people come and they'd come and get readings from me, and it'd be like two friends or three friends, which is, oh God, you know, just, you know. But anyway, I'm kidding. But they'd ask frivolous questions, and one day I said, okay, that's it. I'm very into what I do, and I'm very serious about what I do, and this is not serious, you know. What can I say? I mean, people have lives, and we have problems in our lives, and I'm here to help if I can, not to, you know. Another thing that always kind of bothered me is when people say, am I going to do that? And I would say, well, wait a minute. You should know if you're going to do that. Don't ask me if you're going to do that. That kind of scares me a little bit. You should know what you are going to do. Don't ask me what you're going to do. I mean, that's... Anyway, that's a different story. That'd be a good topic, maybe, to talk about, you know, what are you going to do? What are you not going to do? So you ask the question, and then you do this thing with the beads, and I'll show you that a little later, and then you stop at a bead. And amazingly enough, you then simply, and that's why I went with these beads, I made these especially for this show, and you take a look at the six beads right above where you stopped, and you have six beads that will then turn into a hexagram. And that's all there is to it. And then you read that hexagram. For example, this one, I can show you here. The red are the yang, whatever you want to call it, and the black are yin. So we have yang, yin, yang, and then yin, yin, yang. So this is Li, the bottom hexagram here, right here. Yang, yin, yin, that's Li. And the top one is Gen. So we have fire below, and we have a mountain above, or the 22nd hexagram, which is grace. Okay? So you say, okay, grace. All right? Or you can look in your alternative book. That's the 22nd hexagram. And you might, and I didn't ask a question, but if we look at the 22nd hexagram here, and we see here we have 22nd adornment, embellish, elegance. And we could, you know, but if we had asked a question, we can say, okay, what does that mean? You know, what is that about? What is the essence of that? What is the meaning of that? And so it's just that simple. And then what we do is we look for, if that doesn't answer your question, sometimes that'll just answer it. But if that doesn't answer it, we look for moving lines. And here's the key. I sometimes know those moving lines, but if I don't, I don't worry about it, because I'm not looking for the meaning in the moving lines. I'm looking for where does it take us, because the I Ching is known as the Book of Changes. Hello, Lisa. How are you? Welcome to the chat room. And so what you do is this system uses what we would say is the odds of the coin toss method, a coin toss method. And I find this works extremely well. And all you're going to do is say, you're going to go one beads 1 through 6, and you just, you're not paying any attention, and you just stop at a bead. And it's a black bead. I can see it here, and you can too if I hold this properly. That's my, yeah, right there. Okay, black bead. So if it's 2 red beads, then it moves. If it isn't, it doesn't. Here we go. 1 red bead, right? And this is the second line. Nope. Third line. Black bead, nope, doesn't move. Fourth line, there's 1 red bead. Am I going to pull another one? Nope. Fifth line, nope. Sixth line, there's 1, 2. Sixth line moves. So it was the mountain above, so that sixth line moves, so it becomes, becomes Kun, becomes earth above and Li below. So what that does become then is a darkening of the light. So what we had before, which is the mountain, which was embellishment or adornment or grace, suddenly becomes darkening of the light. So what we would see, what I would say from that, is that the I Ching is saying spending too much time worrying about form, and that can lead to problems, you see. But I didn't ask a question. But so that's, and it's very simple. You don't have to go to the book. You don't have to go to anything else. I really like this. And because it has answered questions specifically, exactly, and been incredibly correct. Okay, but this is something that you have to kind of work with yourself, All right? We'll do some examples later, but I want to say, don't be afraid of making these beads. Now, where to find the pattern for this? Here is the pattern that I used. I want to make sure you can see it. I can't. Let me hold it up here. Now, where I started was with the white beads. Okay? You have six white beads, and then I went from there. I started with the six white beads, then one black bead, one white bead, another black bead, another white bead, and then another black bead, and then going from there. Now, let me tell you where you can find this so you don't have to sweat it out. And that is russellcottrell.com. RussellCottrell.com. And it says I Ching Memory Beads. Okay? That's where you can find it. And you can stop where I hold this up. Okay? And you can look at there. But you just go to russellcottrell.com. I Ching Memory Wheels, not Memory Beads, Memory Wheels. And there's that picture. And he describes, you know, he's got a whole thing about it. But, or you can also just, well, this isn't as good. Use the picture because that's what I use. That's the pattern I've been using for a long time. And he tells you where he got it from. But I just think it's just that easy. You just take that picture. You can take it off of what I just held it up. And it works. I have checked several times to make sure that every single bead is a separate hexagram of the I Ching. You stop on one, it gives you one hexagram and no more, and that all 64 hexagrams of the I Ching are represented. And it works. And like I said, it can be as small as, wrong pocket. It can be as small as this. Yeah, it could be smaller. You can carry it in your pocket. So you could be somewhere. No, people aren't going to know what you're doing. You just pick it up. Now, here's what I do. I always do it the same way. And that is with the six black beads, which are right here at the bottom. And then with the six young beads, the red beads, above it. So I find the six black beads here. I put them at the bottom. And then I let the six, okay, here be on top. And then I begin the process. I don't do it the other way. That's just how I do it. Okay? And then after I've found what I'm doing, I do that. Now, what about these beads? This is a good size. If you double it, it's huge. It's a ridiculous size. I mean, if you have thicker wrist than I do, you could probably roll it on to your wrist. If you got these are 10 millimeter beads. If you got 8 millimeter beads, you could probably make one and wear it on as a bracelet, you know. But I got 200 beads, black and red beads. They came as black and red beads, and I like black and red because those are traditional Chinese colors. This may be a little brighter red. I don't know. I was going to buy cinnabar beads, but they're kind of expensive, and, you know, it's like, eh, I don't know. 200 beads for $6 on Amazon, okay? And they don't sponsor me or anything. It's just convenient. Six something. So for under, with tax, and, under $8, I got 200 beads. Right? And it took me just a little while to put them together. And you can go, if you don't know how to string these things in an endless loop, or they call it an endless bracelet or an endless necklace. That's what it's called, an endless necklace. It's very easy to do. You just look it up on YouTube. Endless necklace, endless bracelet. They usually do it with like silk. And I used a piece of paracord. Because I don't want it to, you know, break all of a sudden. And I'm not going to carry this around. I certainly can't wear it over my head. You know, it's a bit, I have a big noggin. So that won't work. But it's easy to do. So, you know, for under $10, some cord, you can use some twine if you want, because no one's going to be looking at it. You just don't necessarily want it to break. Yes, Pamela, the colors for me are significant, but it can be any two colors. I started making one out of some very thick paracord, and that stuff is hard to work with. I've worked with it in the past for a lot of things, making star knots and monkey's fists and, you know, Matthew Walker knots and lump knots, which are really cool. But I was going to make one of these, but it would have been huge, one of these things, but it would have been very large. I'm not happy with this because this is a prototype, and I learned a lot, so I'm going to make another one. I just haven't had a chance to go get the cord for it yet, but I'm going to do that and make one that's nicer. But you could make it out of blue and white. You could make it out of your high school colors. Mine were silver and blue, but I wouldn't do that. I'm just not that, But the black and red, to me, black was the color of the earth. You could use yellow if you wanted as another symbolic, but it's up to you. It could be green. Whatever you want to attribute the yang as and the yin as. So you could reverse this if you want. It's really up to you. But I happen to like these colors. I like the way they feel to me. They feel very authentic. And there's no reason for anyone to know what this means but you. Okay? So, like I said, it's all the instructions to do this are on the internet, as far as beading. That's how I learned to do any beading. And the main thing is you want to use beads that are the exact same color and that feel the same. I always do it just out of my line of vision, you know. And this is what I do. I just run them until I stop. And right below where I stop is where I pick it up and look at it. Okay, so nothing to it. And I think that's the key, is to make sure there is nothing to it. It's not a big deal. Don't make a big deal out of it. People make such a big deal out of these things. Pardon me. Things are blooming a month ahead of time around here. My neighbor next door has a huge lilac bush, and I love the lilac bushes. They're wonderful. And it's blooming a good, about a month earlier than it should be. And I am just, my allergies are just like, wake up, Mo, you're going to be miserable. Anyway, so, simple. Renee, not a problem. You can catch up on this. I was just talking about how to make these beads and where to get the beads. I got them. I got them on Amazon for under $7. I think it was a little over $7 with tax. So, and I got 200 beads. So, and you only need 64, 32 of each color. And see, people complicate things, and I think they complicate things because they think that things have to be complicated in order to be important. And let me tell you, they don't have to be complicated to be important. This is important stuff, only because it works so darn well. It really does. I did a thing about these beads earlier. I've been using them, and you know, a couple times a day at least, and sometimes more. And the answers are stunningly accurate to me. Just stunningly accurate. You know, I asked a question yesterday about something I'm not going to talk about, but it was so accurate, it just floored me. There couldn't have been any other answer that would have been, you know, and another answer. The other day, out of 64 hexagrams, I asked a question, and the answer was just so right on. Out of 64 hexagrams, it was the only answer that could have been right. And I think, how does this work? And at a certain point, you just have to stop asking, how does it work? You just say, it works. Now, those of you listening on the radio, don't worry, you're not missing a thing. You're just seeing a big circle of beads, of 64 beads of different patterns of red and black beads. So don't worry about that. Like I said, you can go to YouTube later and catch up and say, okay. But let me show you now. Let me see. I made some notes because I didn't want to miss anything that I think you should know. It is easy. It is fast. It may not be for everybody. I'll say that right away. There are a lot of people who love the meditative aspect of the I Ching. I still will use the coins, I'm sure. I'm sure I'll still, get into the Yarrow stocks from time to time. But I do really love this method. I just happen to. I think that this is so quick. And I'm still studying the I Ching at the same time. I've started studying the Chinese characters in depth and going to the ancient, because they're very ancient, these Chinese characters, and what they mean and what are they? I mean, what is it? The sun rising over the earth and, qi or qi, being released in qian. I mean, some of them are quite fascinating, and they give you further insight into the hexagram itself, but that's neither here nor there. But I mean, so I'm not going to just forget everything I've ever learned and decide it's not important. Not at all. But it's just, there's something about it. I guess it's the same thing as when I was working with Tarot. My cards are right here. I'm looking at them. After having worked with Tarot for all but 10 years of my life, and suddenly I realized, wait, I can just talk to these cards and they talk back to me. I don't have to analyze. I don't have to, do the gematria of, the numerology of it. You just work with them and they work back. And I guess I'm kind of getting to the point with that point with this. And it's a wonderful thing. And you just use it any way you want to, any time you want to, in any way, any form. And I think that's what these oracles are meant to be. They're meant to be not just tools. They're meant to be kind of friends. I don't know. They're just things. I really have to reiterate that. But there is some sort of, I don't know how they work. I have no clue. And I'm not going to offer any theory how they work, because I think that is ridiculous, Vegetation is early, yeah, for everybody. Early, yeah. Yeah, that's right. It's, full moon. Should be quite a good one, too. As I said, you can have the names of the 64 hexagrams written on a piece of paper in your pocket. Now, next to that, you'll want to have the hexagram as it appears, yin-yang, yin, whatever it may be, because that way you just refer to it and just... and eventually you'll get a pretty good idea what those hexagrams are. But just the name of it is going to help you. For example, the 21st hexagram is called Biting Through. Biting Through. That's a pretty good one. Or the 43rd hexagram is called Breakthrough. So, I mean, there are times when all you need is just a hint. Do you see what I'm saying? And it may be a while before you actually are comfortable with that. Or you keep the big book, the Wilhelm book, or another book that you might like. There's a book by Wang Bi. He was a Confucian, and he wrote eloquently about it. There are so many books on the I Ching. There's a book by Brian Brown Walker that I'm very fond of. He, I believe he's Buddhist. It's written in a Buddhist way. If you just have a piece of paper with all that on there, you could put it into a computer and print it out and just, you know, fold it up in your pocket. So when you get the urge, you have a question, you ask. Let me see what else. An intuition. That's what I like too. You get to use your intuition. And intuition is a very powerful tool. This will help you become more intuitive. Yes. You can answer yes and no questions with this. So there's that. Let me see here. So what I first do is I find the six yin beads, and there they are. And then I go to the six yang beads. That's all. It's not a ritual. It's just so I know that I'm doing it the direction that I feel is proper. And then I simply start running them, and I don't think. And then I think, okay, what's a good question? All right. I might say something like, ask a question like, I feel the tide is turning in, I happen to not be fond of the way things are being run in this country now. Am I correct? Are things going to change a bit here? And I simply do this running, I'm just running the, I don't want to see what I'm doing, but I'm just running these beads, and I stop, and I've stopped right there, and I put my finger below, and you can see that there are a bunch of beads above where my finger is, my thumb. See right there? And there are three red beads, and then there's a black bead and two red beads. Okay? So the three red beans are greens, not beans. Three red beans are yang. You can see them there. And I made this specially so I could show you. And then there is a yin bead and two. So this is right here on the bottom. We have Qian, right? And then we have Shun, Sun. So we have, okay? And so what we have here is the wind on top and the sky below. And we say, well, what is this? What is this? Now, if you have your book, let's say you've got a book here, and you're going to pull it out, or you've got your sheet of paper, so you look that up, okay? Say, okay, they all have, and this is just what you might do, okay? And they all have a thing, right? Let's see, where is the thing? Well, here's what it is. It's called the taming power of the small, okay? But you would look it up, okay? The taming power of the small. It's the ninth hexagram. And you say, well, what is that, the taming power of the small? So you might look it up. If you have a question about it. But I'm thinking, okay, well, that's an answer. Okay. So I was going to look it up, but let's just go forward and say, okay, are there any moving lines? Okay. So the first one, no, it's a dark bead. So, no. I need two red beads in a row for there to be a moving line. Okay. I get one right here. Okay. One. Nope. Third line. I've got one red. Nope. Fourth line. One red. Nope. Fifth line. One red. Nope. Sixth line. Nope. No moving lines. Now, in the I Ching, when you have no moving lines, it's not considered a good thing. It's like saying, no changes. No changes. I think this happened last time, too. There were no changes. And that's considered to be not a good situation. And those are the doing it this way is considered to be coin odds, you know. So, and I don't usually get no changes. I usually get some changes. So consequently, the taming power of the small, that's a temporary keeping, you see, because that particular one, I'm not going to find it again, but what that is you've got all these, you've got five yang lines and one yin holding back all that yang energy. And so what I'm going to say is that it's going to be a while before it changes. It's going to be a while. Let's see what this guy says about it. I know where it is. I don't have to look it up. The 10th hexagram right there. Then the 9th hexagram, rather. Hindrance. Distraction or temptation can temporarily hold you in check. Your progress will be achieved harmoniously and more rapidly if you are gentle and soft. Force cannot succeed. She's giving advice. He's not telling us what's happening. Do not become rattled or confused. This condition will not last. But it's going to take a while. I mean, that's just the way it is. The image is of stuff in the sky that just isn't moving. It's just not changing, you know. It's just up there, like clouds that are wispy clouds. There are clouds in the sky, maybe, but they're being blown, and they're just not being blown away. They're just kind of up there, and they're being kind of wisped out, you know. So that's one way to do it. So I was just told it's not changing that soon. I mean, okay, so Mo, relax. Settle in. Settle down. Simmer down now, you know? Don't get too excited. Just hang in there, buddy. All right. So that's the answer. And I think that's probably a very realistic answer. I think so. I don't know. Do any of you in the chat room have a question? This to me, that's a very realistic answer. It seems to work. Have a cup of tea here. Let me think here. Let's see if I can get at something here, something worth asking about. I've had a lot on my mind. Recently, I made I'm not going to tell you what it was, but I made a decision, went through with it. It was a big change for me, and was it the right thing to do? Well, we'll see. All right, right there. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. You can see the 6 right there between 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And you can see we have yang, yin, yang, and then yin. No, yang, yin, yin. So what we have is li on the bottom. And then, yeah, I'll get right to it there, Pamela. Yang, yin, yin. So we have li on the bottom, and we have jen, the wind. So we have fire below and wind on top. Okay, and so that is Fang, the 55th hexagram, abundance. Abundance. Boy, that's a good one. That's a good one. So the answer right there, yes or no? Yes, that was a good thing. I did the right thing. I don't need to ask anymore. Do you see? It's different. It's different. Now, Pamela asked a question. I want to honor that. Sure, should I seek a new doctor? Oh, now there's a good question. There's a good question. Thanks, Pamela. Should Pamela seek a new doctor? Right there. Wow. Okay. All right. Yeah, you're seeing part of the fuzz there. I didn't feel it, but... I had very thick cord. So we have the earth below and above, we have the wind. Observation, the 20th hexagram. Pamela, write that down, the 20th hexagram. Observing, okay? Absolutely, being seen. It's also kind of meditation. So it's the wind blowing over the earth, okay? It literally forms like a gate. The gate to, you can't, maybe you can't see it here, but it's like a gate that might form into a shrine or a temple. But being seen, being viewed, viewing, observation. So it's a time to sit. I always, my vision of this, and here we'll take a look at the moving lines. My thought about this hexagram is of sitting on a platform with the wind blowing across the earth and meditating. So I think you should. Okay, but let's take a look and see what the, are there any moving lines? First one, no. No moving lines. Second one, no. No moving lines. Third one red. Two, no. Okay, third, was that the third line? Oof, I lost track. Fourth, okay, one red bead. No. Fifth line. Yes, fifth line moves, and that takes us to I have to think. Because it was the wind. So now it's a mountain above to splitting apart. Splitting apart. The 23rd hexagram. And the 6th hexagram. Sixth, no. Okay, so I would say, Pamela, that it is important that you find a new doctor. Okay? One would cause chaos, but it is for the pursuit of truth. Or option two, do nothing. No, you don't, from what I just saw, you don't have the option of doing nothing because it is not splitting apart. The 23rd hexagram is what it changed to. Let me get to that here. And this book is okay. Downfall, about to collapse, unstable. I'm not trying to scare you, but it's you know, your energy can easily get drained. Strengthen your supports and remain calm. This is not a time to set new goals or start new ventures. And remember, do not rely blindly on former allies or depend on old friends. It's saying you need to take care of yourself. You know, when that changed, to that one, it's saying that things are beginning to get kind of dire, that you need to take care of who you are. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, you were thinking the same thing? Excellent. See, this is the beauty of this. It's, and I'm just going to say, I've been using this for a long time now on a very solid basis, and it has been remarkably accurate and insightful. Last week's offering was about bonding with your oracle, and this is exactly what I'm talking about. Using it a lot, and this is the type of assurances that I've been getting from this oracle, is that it is right on and offers incredibly accurate advice. It's good. It's filled with wisdom. It's kind of a pain in the rear to have to make these beads, but it's not hard. Trust me. The only prerequisite is that you get to run it through your hand without feeling any difference between the beads. My black and white beads, the black beads were lava. So I could feel the difference. And that was bad, because I know that there were times when it you know, but these I can't feel the difference. The ones I have on my wrist, I can't feel the difference. But there are some, you know, things about them I don't like. They're not quite aesthetically like I want them to be. But they were, like I said, a prototype. And I had to figure out how to connect them and all that. And I did that. So, but the accuracy is stunning to me. In a way, and it's fast. You ask the question, you get the answer. Sometimes you don't need to even go any further with moving lines or anything else. Okay? And I'm offering this because my goal now is to share as much information as I can. That's it. You know? Yeah. Someone called me a moron on one of my music. I did a thing on advising songs that people should listen to, you know, psychedelic songs, trippy songs. And a guy said, God, I hope I'm not, when I get to be your age, I'm not a huge moron like you. And I thought, well, I hope. And I thought, you know, he's smug and superior, and that's fine. That's one of the things that youth can provide, I guess. And maybe I am a moron. I don't know. I could be. But I also love life. I love life. And if that makes me appear to be a moron, then more power to him. You know, I just don't care. I don't care. Life is amazing, and I would like to spread as much of that joy of life as I can. And if that makes me stupid or annoying or moronic or idiotic, then I'll be the fool of tarot every time. You know, my fool card in my deck is me streaking, which happened when I was about 19, I think it was. 19, maybe. I don't think I was. I know I wasn't 21. Because I would have been more circumspect. I would not have wanted to go to jail, you know, and permanent record. But, you know, and it did happen. And I enjoyed it thoroughly. It was a wonderful experience, even though I was the slowest runner there was. And, you know, they were all like jets, and I was like, oh, yes, Pam, or Renee. And it was Renee, so thank you, bless you. She said how rude that man was. Oh, and he said something else that was even worse. But God bless him. He's, you know, as John Lennon said, one thing you can't hide is when you're crippled inside. And to have that sort of anger inside of you, and why? Because I love music, and I have certain, you know, music that I like, and I'm going to do some more of those, but I think I'll just branch out into regular music too. Not that my opinion means anything, but, you know, I like to share. So, but life is too short not to share with people who might have a similar interest. And these beads are so cool. I've been studying divination all my life. And I must say, something that you can wear, thank you, Renee. You're so kind. And I can show the music because you'll get dinged by YouTube pretty badly. With, you know, good reason, copyright infringement. My cousin who lives in Giza, in Cairo, he said, show the videos, show the videos. I said, no, I don't. I'd like having being on YouTube. They'll kick you out. Okay. That's it for today. I hope you enjoyed this, and I hope you'll make a set of these. I do, Pamela. Trust me. She says, do what brings you joy. I think everyone should do what brings them joy, as long as it doesn't hurt anybody else. Right? Right. And that's a biggie. Now, sometimes it takes time, right? Life is so amazing. Okay. Yeah, someone died recently, younger than I am, and it just broke my heart. Again. So, let's embrace life, shall we? And let's embrace joy, and let's not embrace hatred, because that just causes confusion, and it just drags us down. Right? All right. Thank you. Thank you, Renee. Thank you all. Thank you for watching. I hope you'll try it. You may enjoy it. Until next time, I wish you all peace. I wish you all love. And have a wonderful week. If all goes well, I'll be back. All right? I'll talk to you later. Take care. Bye-bye.
Until next we meet, I'll be waiting for you right here in the Paisley Penny Arcade. 1, 2, 3, 4.